Welcome to Shanahan on Literacy, the site where we believe there is nothing more noble than to teach somebody to read. I'm Tim Shanahan, your host, and today we're going to talk about test preparation. The title is, 'Tis the Season of Test Prep, Bah Humbug. This is a blast from the past. Now, usually my blasts from the past are repostings of blogs that I had put out sometime earlier, and usually with minimal revision. This one's a bit different. This time I've combined and revised two earlier postings, one from December 8th, 2018, and one soon after that, January 19th, 2019. Every year I receive numerous requests from teachers either seeking ways to prepare their students to excel on the accountability tests or ways to resist their school district's pressure to do a lot with test preparation. Although it's only December, those letters have already started coming in. I think this is the earliest ever, which troubles me. Well, here's the teacher's question. We've been given a directive to provide plans and resources to support schools in preparing students for these high-stakes tests. Our English language arts team is discouraged by this ask. We joke that we'd create a document that just said, stay the course and teach word recognition to those who are not yet reading at grade level. The district is looking at data to determine areas of need. This leads us down a slippery slope that often ends with schools forming main idea reteaching groups and inference groups, etc. What advice do you have for us? Well, here's my response. It's been a while since I've gotten up on this particular soapbox, but many consider this the season to be jolly. But for schools, the kickoff for heavy test prep is soon to begin, and unfortunately, in your school, it's already begun. Your district wants to use the data or to create data-driven classrooms. They've been told, without evidence, that that approach will allow them to shine on the annual accountability tests. I appreciate their hopefulness, but I have one small concern about this practice, and that is, it doesn't work. These so-called test score improvement experts who promulgate these ideas don't seem to mind that the recommendations contradict both the research and successful educational policy and practice. Their theory, and it is just a theory, is that one can raise reading scores through targeted teaching of specific comprehension skills. Teachers are to use the results of their state accountability tests to look for fine-grained weaknesses in reading achievement or to identify which educational standards the kids aren't meeting. This idea makes sense in math, perhaps, if kids perform well on the addition and subtraction problems, but screw up on the multiplication ones, then focusing more heavily on multiplication probably works. But reading comprehension questions are a horse of a different color. There's no reason to think that practicing answering types of comprehension questions would improve test performance. Just the opposite. Question types are not skills. What I mean by question types are things like main idea, supporting details, drawing conclusions, inferencing. All things that you can ask questions about when people have read a text. In math, 3 times 9 is going to be 27 every doggone time. But the main idea of a short story, that's going to depend upon the content of the story, how the authors constructed the tale. In other words, the answer is going to be different with each text. Practicing skills is fine, but if what you're practicing is not repeatable, then it's not a skill. The test makers know this. Look at any of the major tests, SBAC, PARC, AIR, SAT, ACT, and I can go on. They will tell you that their test is based upon the educational standards or that their questions are consistent with those standards. But when they report student performance, they provide an overall reading comprehension score with no subscores based on the various question types. Why did they do it that way? Because it is impossible to come up with a valid and reliable score for any of these question types. ACT studied it closely and found that question types didn't determine reading performance. Text mattered but question types didn't when it came to student performance. In fact, ACT concluded that if the questions were complex and the texts were simple, readers could answer the questions successfully. But if the questions were simple and the texts were hard, the readers couldn't answer any of the question types. Reading comprehension tests measure how well students can read a collection of texts, not how well they can answer different types of questions. If your principal really wants to see better test performance, there's a trick that I'm ready to reveal here. Now, what's the path to better reading scores? Teach kids to read. It works like magic. Teach kids to read. Kids don't do well on the tests because we don't spend enough time on those things that make a difference in making kids reading proficient. Most American elementary schools these days pride themselves on their 90-minute reading blocks, but much of that time is devoted to activities that do little to promote reading ability. Kids are supposedly reading independently or doing shut-up sheets while the teachers are working with the other kids. Those things don't do much to raise reading achievement. I'd love it if instead of a 90-minute block, we'd commit to providing every child with 90 minutes of teaching and guided practice each day. That might take more than 90 minutes to deliver, but it would sure give kids a better chance to become reading proficient. In my schools, I required 120 to 180 minutes per day of reading and writing instruction. Now, I know that's a lot, but it is accomplishable in most schools if they ditch the test prep and the reading activities that don't really contribute much to kids' learning. This instructional time should be devoted to explicit teaching and guided practice aimed at developing knowledge of words, and that developing knowledge of words includes phonemic awareness, phonics, letter names, spelling, morphology, vocabulary, everything that is about words or parts of words. Oral reading fluency is the second area that we need to develop. Getting kids to read accurately, with automaticity, and with prosody. The language has to sound like language. Third one is reading comprehension, teaching kids how to interpret written language, strategies to keep their head in the game and to process information effectively, and building knowledge from what they read. And finally, writing, transcription and composition, both getting words down on paper, but also coming up with the ideas and composing. And for English learners, and perhaps poverty kids too, some explicit oral language teaching. Now, too many teachers think kids would be better off reading on their own than working with them because reading is learned by reading. You've heard that. Well, kids do need to read, but that practice is best if included in reading lessons than pushed away from them. I encourage devoting at least half the instructional time to actual reading and writing. In a reading comprehension lesson, of course there are going to be teacher-led demonstrations and explanations and guided discussions and so on. But the student should also be reading text during that chunk of time. The same is true for decoding. During a big chunk of that instruction, kids should be decoding and encoding words, not just listening to teachers. In grades 2 and up, students spend too much time working with books they can already read reasonably well. There is no such thing as an instructional level in reading, at least beyond first grade. Teaching kids at their supposed reading levels hasn't been found to facilitate learning, but lowers the sophistication and complexity of the content and language that they get to work with. We do too little to develop kids' reading stamina. Oh, I know that some are proud that they use books instead of short stories to teach reading, or that many assign extended silent reading. But those tend to be sink or swim propositions. Kids would be better prepared for tests and for many other real-world reading situations if there was an intentional regimen of stretching how long they can persist in making sense of texts. For many, having to read an extended fourth-grade selection silently to answer questions doesn't go so well since they've never done anything that demanding before. Lack of a knowledge-focused curriculum is an important culprit here, too. Science and social studies aren't given enough time in elementary school, and the value of the literature that they're asked to read in reading classes may be suspect as well. Kids should get daily work in those subjects, and those lessons should include the reading of content text. And I don't mean round-robin reading. I mean really getting the kids to read these texts for comprehension. Read and reread them if necessary. Nothing very exciting here, right? If you want higher test scores, it takes a lot of dedicated teaching of the key things that matter in learning to read. Nothing sexy about it. Yet too few of our children get those kinds of instruction, and test prep is not a replacement for them. If you want higher test scores, focus like a laser on what works, and your kids will do better, I promise. That's my final word on that for the day. If you're interested in finding a written copy of these remarks, you can go to the Shanahan on Literacy website. And this one is posting, this entry is posting on December 14th, 2024, under the title, "'Tis the Season of Test Prep, Bah Humbug." The written version includes four references that are included here. And there's a link to the 33 comments that were made on those earlier versions of this blog entry. And that's always interesting to see what other experts and teachers and principals and so on have to say about the ideas just shared. With that, I'm going to thank our sound engineer, Greg Johnson, and I would like to thank you for tuning in. I hope to see you up the road a piece.